ZFM Stereo. 24/7. ZFM Stereo.
Lionel Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise. Argentina, champions of the world, and a nation will tango all night long.
It's time for the biggest sports stories.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
Max Verstappen, two-time world champion.
The biggest interviews.
These are happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if there wasn't Venus. So thank you, Venus.
And all the analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James, at the worst, is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that. It's just blasphemous.
Let me finish.
Let you finish. I'll let you talk.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport, it's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Your Monday's just about to get better. Why? This is ZFM Sport. We take a look back at what was an exciting weekend in the world of sport, local as well as international. And for the next 52 minutes, you're in the company of your favorite team of pundits and analysts. That team is Alois Munjira, our producer Sean Tafidinyika, Barry Baza Manandi. My name is Mike Madoda. What a great weekend and what a great show it promises to be, because Zimbabwe off to a flyer at the ICC T20 World Cup in Colombo. The Chevrons putting paid to Oman in their first game out.
Well, from the beautiful SSC in Colombo, Zimbabwe have made light work of Oman. Bowley first, bundled out for 103. Uzunabani, excellent. Ngarava, superb. Evans, very useful. Bennett unbeaten on 48. Taylor useful with 31. Marumani with an enterprising 21. Zimbabwe crushing Oman by 8 wickets.
Zimbabwe crushing Oman by 8 wickets. And of course, crushing is the order of the day, because in our international sports news, it was billed as a tight affair. In the end, it was a blowout victory for the Seattle Seahawks, who captured a Super Bowl 60 after seeing off the New England Patriots.
And they bring a pressure as well. Above them all in the NFL, the Seahawks, Super Bowl champions for the second time.
Now, talking about second time, Manchester City won their second back-to-back, or should I say league double, over Liverpool in 80 years yesterday evening with a storming comeback win over the Reds at Anfield. What a late, late show from Pep Guardiola's men to keep the title race alive.
Silver placed in. Hollywood, the header! Yes. And they have their equaliser. Bernardo Silva sharply in to switch the dynamic again. Holland, huge! And the race is on!
Z. And that, of course, the sound of jubilation at Anfield. Not from the Reds, but from the Blues. Alois, Manchester City, they needed to win. It looked like they might not win after Liverpool scored that brilliant free kick from Dominic Szoboszlai, but they did what they needed to do to get two goals later on at Anfield.
Yeah, they stayed composed. I think they showed maturity. And at that time, everybody thought it was done and dusted.
Yeah,
what a goal it was. It's spectacular. You know, I was sitting there and I was like, guys, what are they saying? Why is someone who two power? That was crazy. Why is someone who two power? But saying that, as I was voting, you didn't know that. This guy has got good technique.
And
he's a little straight.
And the keeper didn't even move.
He didn't. It swerved, killed him. He has got super technique. Yeah. But at that time, I thought Man City were out. Mm. Because they were not playing good football. Yeah, they were not even attacking.
Liverpool was on top in the second half.
Exactly. Mm. Liverpool were on top, and I thought they would go with the momentum. Yeah. But then, I don't know, they just crawled back, and it wasn't really a smart goal that they scored. The equalizer was more like route one football, and yeah, they did. But after they equalized, now it felt like
they knew they could get a winner.
They could feel they could get it. Yeah.
Very experienced. I think Arsenal will be taking a look at that Man City performance and thinking to themselves, you know what? This team has got the experience to get the job done. So Arsenal will know that they'll need to be unrelenting between now and the end of the season.
It'll scare them. 13 games to play. There's lots of points to play for. But with each passing match, it's one less. So that's just how Arsenal needs to play it. Keep their wits about them and get 3 points wherever they can get them.
All right, 0772-168-045. You heard the thoughts of Alois and Barry in studio. A bit more from them, of course, later on during the course of the show, where we are taking a look at Zimbabwe at the ICC T20 Cricket World Cup and also the Super Bowl 60, which was captured by the Seattle Seahawks. 0772-168-045 is your number.
I listen to my mom radio. CFM stereo. The Warriors, the Chevrons, the Cheetahs, the Mighty Warriors, and the Sables. From the pool to the track to the field, we are Team Zimbabwe.
That was Elenium and Ellie Goulding.
Is she
British?
Yes,
she's very British.
She's Scottish, I think. Yes.
Scottish.
Yes.
Yeah. Scottish.
She's Scottish.
So tell me something. Why people with an accent? Yeah. Okay, so the Irish, the Scots, etc., and even like your Cockney rhyming slang. How come they sing properly?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because
they don't sing with an accent.
You know, what's his name? Ginger. Ginger with the guitar. What's his name?
Ginger.
Huh?
Very.
Ed Sheeran sings with a bit of an accent.
Yeah, but I'm saying generally people sing properly.
Yes.
Yeah, they'll sing properly.
Even Ugatoana
Muna, Asigato Goni Gutaura Chiveti. But look, I'm just singing an English song. They will actually sing.
Chinobuda smart.
When they sing properly,
because I think we're taught to say the words in a particular way, so when you sing it's different to when
it's
you
it's very
talk,
different
suppose,
when you're talking. Yeah, absolutely. Well, are there any linguists or any music experts out there? Get in touch with us. This is the show that has all that sport and a bit more. 0772 168 045. Let's talk cricket, and of course, good result for Zimbabwe at the start of the ICC T20 World Cup. The Chevrons marking their return to that competition with a thumping 8-wicket win against Oman in Colombo, Sri Lanka this afternoon. The Chevrons, a toe pastry of Blessing Mzarabani, Brett Evans and Richard Ngarava, engineered Oman's batting collapse on a bouncy SSC track before Brian Bennett and Brendan Taylor took them home with a clinical third wicket partnership. The scorecard from the Group B game: Oman 103, they made Vinayak Shukla making 28, Sufyan Mahmoud 25. The pick of the bowlers for Zimbabwe: three bowlers taking 3 wickets each. Blessing Mzarabani, 3 for 16. Ngarava, 3 for 17. And Evans, 3 for 18. Zimbabwe in reply. Atakanta, 106 for 2 in 13.3 overs. Brian Bennett, 48. Brendan Taylor, 31, not out. And Sufyan Mahmoud picking up the 2 wickets that fell for Zimbabwe. So the Chevrons winning by 8 wickets. Let's hear from play of the match. Chevrons bowler, Blessing Mzarabani.
Oh yeah, it was really nice for us to get the first win out of the way. But now it's just game by game. We're focusing with more games, but I'm really happy for today. We've got some bounce, so really happy. It was a little bit skiddy as well, so I'm really happy that I really used the conditions. Yeah, as I said, it's just game by game. I'm not going to overthink things. Just game by game, I'm really happy for today. It's going to be a good challenge. It's going to be, but of course, we're just going to game by game. Nothing changed. Good boys, a good pro.
See.
That, of course, is Blessing Muzarabani, who led the Chevrons' pace battery as they tore through, of course, the Oman top order at the Senegalese Sports Club, leaving the Associate Nation reeling. Oman were bundled out for 103, and at some point, it looked like they might even eclipse their lowest World Cup total of 47. This when Zimbabwe reduced Oman to 27-4-5. That was before a stabilizing 44-run partnership between Sufyan Mahmoud and Vinayak Shukla spared Oman deeper embarrassment, adding a measure of respectability to the score. But Zimbabwe taking full toll of that mediocre score buried by Oman, to making sure that they won, and they won quickly.
Yeah, yeah, and also great to see our frontliners. We've always talked about the fact when this combination is together, Muzarabani Ngarava and Brad Evans, they can do some damage. We saw them when they were together at RA Sports Club before Brad Evans, of course, suffered the back injury. We can see the fact that we have a pace attack that will trouble the smaller nations, definitely. The better nations, obviously, they know how to play the that sort of pace attack, but at least if they can stay together, we're competitive.
Bennett anchoring the chase with a composed 48 from 36 balls, and he seemed to blend a control and confidence, and I think he tempered his approach to make sure that the job was done by Zimbabwean, and perhaps casting our eyes forward to sterner tests to come, Barry. That is the approach that he's going to have to take if Zimbabwe is going to have a solid batting foundation.
Absolutely. And Brian Bennett, we've always said, of the new generation that came through in the last sort of 18 months, Brian Bennett is probably the brightest light. And he continues to do so. As you point out, there was no scoreboard pressure. It was a gettable total.
Yep.
So there's no need for him to blitzkrieg. He just had to be measured. And I think 48 off 36 is very measured and getting us to that total. Concerned, though, with Brendan Taylor retiring hurt, because I think that him getting into form is a good thing, but then when he gets then a break in the performances that he can give us, it might have a negative effect on his performance and indeed the team.
Of course, we'll be keeping an eye on the condition of BT Brendan Taylor as we head into our second Group B match, which will be played on Friday, and we're taking on the might of Australia. Let's take a look at the rest of the results from the weekend's opening matches. Listen, tight fought affairs, I thought, on day one. The Associate Nations covering themselves in glory, but ultimately not having enough to get over the line. The Netherlands pushed Pakistan really close, and it took some hiv-ho batting in the final two overs to get the Sultans off swing over the line. Pakistan beating the Dutch by 3 wickets. West Indies beat Scotland by 35 runs, whilst India got a scare against the United States of America, but managed to win by 29 runs. New Zealand beat Afghanistan by 5 wickets, and England were pushed close, really close, perilously close by Nepal, but eventually edged out that high-scoring affair by 4 runs. And then Sri Lanka also needing a late implosion from the Irish to win by 20 runs. So tight affairs, Barry, in these games. That there's been hardly a blowout victory until Zimbabwe played today versus Oman. And I think this is the sort of competition that the ICC were praying for.
Yeah, and they are probably proclaiming long may it remain. But I don't think it will. I think that the top-tier nations will get their eye in. It's just like in innings. Sometimes at the top of the innings, you can have a bit of a wobbly start, but invariably, they will stabilize things and they will come into their own, and we'll see the best nations probably rise to the top. Interesting, though, I saw a preview of the tournament, and some pundits are placing Zimbabwe as the surprise package of the tournament, and I found that very surprising, also very encouraging, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's see how they do. We play Australia. If we're going to be a surprise, that is where we should spring the first surprise. Gotcha. Tomorrow's action of the World Cup, Namibia takes on the Dutch, the Netherlands, and New Zealand. The Black Caps will entertain the United Arab Emirates, and then Pakistan would entertain the United States of America.
Hi, my name's Ryan Cairns, Sunshine Tour professional golfer, and you're listening to ZFM Sport.
home front. Local sports news and analysis.
So Zimbabwe's Miriam Masia, this is golf, capped a memorable week with a tied for eighth finish at the prestigious Africa Amateur Women's Invitational at Royal Johannesburg. The 16-year-old carded consistent rounds of 76, 78 and 78 to finish on 16 over par 232, securing a credible top 10 place in the continent's premier women's amateur golf tournament. On to athletics news. Olympian Isaac Mpofu reaffirmed his status as Zimbabwe's leading long-distance runner after powering to victory in the 42-kilometer race at the Old Mutual Harare Marathon yesterday. More than 3,000 athletes and fitness enthusiasts participated in this year's edition, but it was the elite competitors who ultimately stole the spotlight in Porfu. The national marathon record holder delivered a commanding performance marked by endurance and tactical discipline in a time of 2 hours and 18 minutes. We'll wrap it up with news from the top tier of domestic football. Castle Lager Premier Soccer League, whose start is imminent in a move designed to douse the flames of transfer speculation and steady a rocking ship. Dynamos have handed the captain's armband to midfield hardman Shadrack Nyawa. The appointment serves as a definitive hands-off warning to suitors like Hard Rock and Tel One, who had been circling the midfielder.
We're turning up the beat.
I just need
your hit music station.
Let's go!
I'm no good at goodbye.
So far, I'm so you. But you ain't my boyfriend. Duh.
Beautiful people, drop designer clothes. How do you sleep when you lie to me?
Dance.
Your home for hit music. It's the
International Sports News Roundup, where the world comes out to play. Whether it's the NBA or NFL, the best of America on ZFM Sport.
All right, out of the States. There was only one event last night, and that's the Seattle Seahawks. So their quarterback, Sam Darnold, saying, as long as you believe in yourself, anything is possible, as he crowned his staggering comeback story with once unthinkable glory. The Seattle Seahawks became Super Bowl champions for the second time as they beat the New England Patriots 29-13 at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara early this morning. Let's hear from Sam Darnold.
I've taken it day by day, you know, throughout my entire career, and it's gotten me to this point. And, you know, that's really all I can say about that, but it's because of the guys in the locker room, because of our coaching staff working their butts off every single day. Like, you know, that's why we're all here. You know, it almost felt like we got to the NFC Championship, then we won, and it was like, oh, shoot, we're going to the Super Bowl. Like, it literally felt like it was just part of the process. And, you know, we did the same thing today. You know, offense, again, I feel like we didn't play as good as we could have. I certainly didn't play as good as I could have, but our defense had our back, our special teams had our back, and we got the win.
Playing on his fifth team and in his eighth season, Darnold entered unlikely football immortality as the 2018 third overall pick buried his written-off past and premature career obituaries to reach the pinnacle of football, having signed a $100.5 million deal with the organization last off-season. And this is the way to repay the faith that the Seahawks played in you. Walk them. Well, it wasn't really a walk, but it looked like a walk last night.
Yeah.
I tell you what, to a Super Bowl.
I think it speaks volumes about his character. Written off by many. Yeah. Many observers thought, listen, this guy is down and out. He's washed out, but he's come back and he's won himself a Super Bowl, and that speaks definitely to the character of the man. And I think he's repaying every cent in that $100 million deal that he signed with the organization last off-season. The Super Bowl itself, Barry, we talked about it on Friday, and we dubbed it offense versus defense. Patriots versus the Seahawks, and defense won. And if you take a look at, I think, what is the most significant thing that happened, Super Bowl 60, is the fact that, you know what, they put on defensive masterclass. Mm-hmm. They sacked Drake May 6 times.
Dude.
Now, picture that.
Yeah.
Six sackings.
Yeah.
And then intercepted him twice. And I think that really is what laid the foundation for that victory. 29-13, Barry. Seattle Seahawks. And I think the Patriots knew they were well beaten at the end of the game last night.
And listen, I know you're a Pats fan, but
yeah.
I don't think you would have ever thought, and when we discussed it, we didn't think that the Patriots would be blanked in the first 3 quarters. To only get on the board in the fourth quarter.
I always thought that the Seattle Seahawks were favorites,
uh-huh.
but I didn't think, Barry, that they would have it in them to win by, what is it, 15, 16? I thought it would be sort of like 7, 8, or might even be closer.
Mm.
It was just phenomenal, the fact that they blanked them over 3 quarters.
Right,
I mean, that this is a team we're talking about that their greatest strength is attack. And you are blanked over three quarters of the game.
You can't get on the scoreboard.
Yeah,
phenomenal. The halftime show, did you watch it?
Yeah, the halftime show was okay. I think it was good, okay. to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
It was different.
Yeah.
I've seen some
weird
criticism. Yeah, look, it's not your classical Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
I think over the last 4 or 5 years, I think we must accept that the Super Bowl is moving in a certain direction. It's no longer targeted at the classical American.
Okay.
You know, it's now targeted at a very broad, liberal sort of
it's
like
got a lot of left, advocacy
yeah,
coming
exactly,
into it. Left wing
type audience.
Yeah.
Because these are the guys who are most vocal.
Yeah.
These are the guys that you would be classically defined by Donald Trump as woke.
As woke.
Yes. And so it's no surprise that one of the biggest critics of the halftime show was Donald Trump.
Was DJ T.
He absolutely just tore into it.
Uh-huh.
But you've got other guys like Piers Morgan who have heaped praise on the halftime show and given it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Just depending on your taste.
Yeah, you know,
I think one of the biggest criticisms from Trump is that, well, no one could understand what they would say. Well, look, Mr. President, there are over 50 million people in your country that speak
Spanish.
Latinos that understand Spanish.
Yes.
So there was an audience. It just wasn't you.
It wasn't you. Yeah, the fact that it wasn't you doesn't mean that nobody got to listen. I agree with you. I think the days of Whitney,
it's not for the classical American.
And Mariah are long gone. Those days are long gone. Anyway, Super Bowl is done. The Seahawks are, as I heard them say, they are world champions. Whatever, dude. Let's go on.
No, they are. Let's be fair.
Listen,
let's be fair.
In a sport that you only play in one country,
no,
Michael.
It's not. It's played in Germany. It's played in Russia. It's played in a lot of countries. It's played in Canada.
But they don't play against
nations. So why would you dispute that they are the world champions?
Because they haven't played the world.
You put a team out. Anyway, pick any players.
Yeah.
In fact, you can put a global.
They will lumber.
So they are world champions.
But it is by extrapolation and assumption.
Let's
prove it on the field of play.
No.
Gridiron.
No,
let's go ahead.
No ways.
Let's go do it.
There's no team that can stand up to the Seattle Seahawks. You can put a world team together. And they will be thumped.
World 54.
You could put a World 54 together. That would be absolutely annihilated by the thing. So, I know.
So they're world champ.
Yeah, world champ. World champ.
It's around the world 60.
Hi, this is Benjamin Locke. I'm on the Zimbabwe Davis Cup team, and you're listening to ZFM Sport.
Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
Kickoff is in Australia, where South Africa's Sevens rugby team, the Blitzboks, hung tough to win a physical encounter against Fiji for their second title of the year in the HSBC Seven Seas, while the Black Ferns of New Zealand beat Australia to claim their second title of the season. In England, rugby head coach Steve Bothwick was full of praise for Henry Arundel after he scored a hat-trick in the huge 48-7 Six Nations win over rivals Wales, while elsewhere Italy stunned Scotland 18-15. In Hungary, the USA's tennis team returned to business as usual in Davis Cup qualifiers by beating the host nation 4-0 on clay in Tata Banya. And then in California, where we touched down, Chris Gotterup might be the hottest player in golf right now after surging to a second win in 3 weeks on the PGA Tour after a playoff triumph at the Phoenix Open.
Summertime. 80s in the 80s.
80 degrees and getting hotter.
We're going to the island range.
90s in the 90s.
92 today and blue skies.
All that you want.
And hotties from the 90s. Your summer variety.
I love it.
Rock it on. ZFM Stereo is untouchable. Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
0772-168-045. Your messages have been coming in plenty. And it's your messages that we go. And Mike, Ref Paman City Nelivas. You know, 10 dead away here. Kurebesa time. No, Ana Kurebesa time. I mean, he factored in the stoppages.
Yes.
Yeah, Saka Klokepa TV, Ringechungo in Ramberi. It then doesn't factor the fact that there is a stoppage that's been effected. There is a VAR check and all that. So that's the time that's added on.
Yeah.
And remember, it actually stipulates that it's a minimum of.
Yes.
Mogaterra Stadium announcer Pano announcer Anoti, there will be a minimum of 5 or 7 added minutes.
Yeah, and that's and then he can go on for 13, 15, whatever.
Hopefully not. At his discretion.
But it's at his discretion. And it's usually we see where those stoppages are. Like, for instance, there can be a prolonged VAR check during that added time, and then he's got to factor that in.
Right. Let's take a look at other messages coming in. Under respect to the Liverpool's players for killing two birds with one stone, slot out an operation to ensure Arsenal don't win the league. We're well executed. This is Arthur, who's a Liverpool fan. He's looking at the positives there.
Yeah.
And I wonder why Lewis Hamilton isn't as good anymore as he was at McLaren. I think he meant Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, he was more focused on racing a driver who isn't bothered about mileage anymore. Yeah, his heady heights were at Mercedes, obviously. But look, guys.
I hope that message has got nothing to do with Kim Kardashian.
But Akura, people forget Lewis Hamilton is not a spring chicken.
He's done.
And by the normal measure, many Formula One drivers at his age would have retired.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at Fernando Alonso. Fernando Alonso is a fantastic Formula One driver, but he just can't put it together because he doesn't have the youth and energy to do it. So yeah, age, father time catches up with us all.
Someone who has a very completely different take, Barry Morefu, says, I think Hamilton's going to be unstoppable this season, fueled by Kim Kardashian's fierce style, Mukomana Aningachi Pisa. So he reckons, listen, she's going to light a fire.
No, I think she's going to drain him. I think she's going to drain him.
I'm not going to ask you to explain.
Don't.
Yeah, I won't.
Ask me on Wednesday. Wednesday.
Let's go to the United Kingdom. And this is Sam, the man. He says accents often seem to vanish in singing because the mechanics of singing alter speech patterns. Vowels are elongated and smooth. Pitch and melody dictate pronunciation. Right. Rhythm overrides natural speech cadence. And many genres adopt a standardized neutral style. Vocal training also emphasizes clarity and projection, further reducing regional quirks.
Says ChatGPT.
Yeah.
No, that's a brilliant response. Brilliant response.
As guys, Liverpool failed to buy a central defender and a left back until the window closed. Now Zashiri, this is Nkosana Ndlovu in Machi Pisa. Well, the good thing about Liverpool, Alois, is that even in their struggles, Iripa number 6. Ipapo, and they still have got a reasonable hope of making the Champions League. They haven't dropped to the point where they're number 14, 15, and in complete crisis.
No, they're still within reach of the top four. Because when I was looking at the log, I actually thought that was a good result for Manchester United. Because if they'd won, they would be very, very close.
Yeah, two points behind
Manchester United. So I think they're still close. There's still 13 games to play. There's a lot of points to still play for. They played well against Man City. I thought, especially in the second half, they dominated. They dominated the second half. Manchester City just got the goals, but Liverpool dominated. There was a time that they were just like pressing Man City the whole time. So for me, they still have the chance. It's not like they're not doing well. It's just the result. They're not going their way. But they're actually playing well.
Nyoni from Blue says, I think the Chevrons will go all the way because we know our team only performs well on their first. So since we'll be playing different teams, which means all those games will be our first games, so we're guaranteed wins in the matches. Go, Chevrons, go. That's his logic. From a series to no one's a winner the first game.
Yes.
So since we're playing different opposition, we will win the games because these are like the first games in a series.
Your logic, bro.
Oh my goodness. I like that. As is it just me or are Arsenal fans Arsenal fans more gutted by yesterday's result than Liverpool fans?
I think so. Here's why, because I think Liverpool fans looked at it some of the most football educated fans in the world are Liverpool fans. So I think Liverpool fans looked at the performance and they thought, the team wasn't bad. Listen, we were unlucky. But then Arsenal are gutted to say, crumbs, here comes this juggernaut again.
And Chuck says, I'm worried if Brendan and Sikander are getting things done for us and the young are found wanting, what else can you ask for? Is mature meat the best for Zimbabwe? But look, let's celebrate this victory. I think in this victory there was a mix of performances. Three bowlers took three wickets. You had Bennett with a phenomenal performance up top. Then of course BT did the job. Let's celebrate this win and let's move on to Australia. And we hope we'll be able to put on a performance versus Australia, and that game of course will be on Friday. Hanzi, hi. ZFM sports team India yakabata chimtambo che cricket kuti zvi. Have you realized kuti each of the 20 teams at the ICC T20 Men's World Cup has at least one player of Indo-Pakistan descent in their squad, including our Chevrons, who have Sikander Raza of Pakistani descent. India is what Brazil in football terms of cricket talent. That's good. Yeah, they do have, of course, lots of talent. And I think it's also a numbers game. They're a billion. There are a lot of them, so you're going to get a lot of talent. But in terms of success, Australia is the Brazil.
Yes, Australia is the Brazil
of cricket, because Australia is the most successful cricketing nation.
By colour and by nature.
Yeah, so I think what India has to do is to get over past the vibe stage.
Yes.
Where it's about, we're good, we're great, we're talented, we're skillful, we're the best, and actually start stringing together. They've done that a bit recently, like in the last decade and a half. I think we've seen India started to win major tournaments.
Yeah, start by defending this trophy.
Yeah, but we've never experienced that dominance that Australia had.
Yeah.
Where Australia was winning three World Cups in a row.
In a row.
And doing so in dominant fashion.
Yes. And being number one in all three formats of the game. Yeah. No, we haven't seen that yet.
All right. 0772-168-045. A couple more messages here before we kick off the beautiful game. Blessings the Gunner says, hello guys, I'm not worried about City being in Liverpool. If you are to win the league, you have to beat the teams chasing you. We will beat Man City on our own. That is the attitude. I can see our producer Shawnee is nodding his head vigorously. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. As a high sports team, what a good good defending from Mark Gay, especially 1v1. Yeah, he's a good defender, Mark Gay.
Very.
But I thought he was lucky to get away with that offense. Yeah, there was cover coming through, but Salah would have been through on goal in that one. And he got a yellow card, and that was good defending because he knew he was beaten. That's part of defending as well.
Yep.
Knowing when to give away the foul.
Just outside the box. Yeah, no, he did one.
Yeah, then, hi guys, this is Nika from Budiro. Do India need Kohli or Sharma in this tournament? The answer, I think, is no. We've just read that message about the amount of talent India has.
Yep.
Those two, of course, have got experience, but at the end of the day, they are not in the squad, and India still has got the players that are capable of getting the job done.
Your hit music station. My station. Your station. It's everybody's station. ZFM Stereo.
All the rivalry.
Goal for Liverpool early on Derby Day.
All the stars.
There goes Haaland. He's on his way again. He's hungry. He's scored. He always does. He always will. Nothing more certain.
And all the game-changing moments.
Can he find a way through? You bet he can. That is top, top class.
All the updates from the Premier League on ZFM Sport.
All right, let's talk about that big game where Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola has said the citizens can still catch Arsenal in the Premier League, warning their rivals that a lot can happen in 13 games after a 2-1 win at Liverpool closed the gap at the top of the table to 6 points.
What I said, 13 games? 13 games in the Premier League, from my point of view, from my little experience, is a lot of time. A lot. Because it's a problem. When you go in the last games playing, I don't know, and any team playing to be in relegation battle, it's a proper game, football game, you know, because they live to survive and they give life, they have long weeks to prepare. You come from FA Cup, you come from Carabao Cup, you come from Champions League. That did make a lot of influence of this kind of things, no?
See. 2 goals in the final 6 minutes for City from Bernardo Silva and Erling Haaland cancelled out Dominic Szoboszlai's 74th minute opener to give Guardiola's side the 3 points and seal a league double over Liverpool for the first time in 89 years. Pep Guardiola saying that 13 games is a lot of time in the Premier League, Alois, is an ominous soundbite coming out of Man City on the back of winning at Anfield. But also, it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
13 games to play for.
Yeah.
That is a lot of time, and Pep Guardiola knows it.
Yeah. You know, when I looked at the log, Billy, and I saw 13 games to go, I was like, this thing is far from over.
Yeah.
It's so far from over. That statement, yeah, like you said, we went to Anfield, took those 3 points, and Arsenal are watching, and now they're just six points
yeah.
Ahead of Man City, and you start thinking, 13 games, this is going to be the longest
13 games
of Arsenal's lives,
yeah.
You know, to be honest. But to be honest, baby, when I look at Arsenal, it feels like they've got this something positive.
They haven't been this good.
They haven't,
They are
looking very good, and things are kind of like things are happening.
Yeah,
things are happening for Arsenal. And if when it was 1-1, I actually thought this is going Arsenal's way.
Mm.
You know, that winner by Man City changed all the permutations,
yeah.
And it can actually go back to this game and think about that controversial goal, mm-hmm. And think, is it going to make a difference, yeah, at the end of the year? But 13 games is a lot.
It's a lot,
especially when you are being chased by Pep Guardiola.
And it's a lot. That's a scary bit. Going to the game, Mike, you got to say to yourself that yes, the first half owned by Man City, but the second half, Liverpool coming out and showing some really, really good stuff that may have served to at least turn a little down the pressure cooker on Arne's slot.
Yeah.
To say that, look, he seems to be getting it right in some areas because some of the new players are beginning to click.
Well, a similar pattern to the game versus Arsenal, where Arsenal was very dominant in the first half. Looked like there was only one side in the tie as far as possible victory was concerned. Same thing with this game here. Man City in the first half looked imperious, dominated, all passages of play, had all the attempts on goal. But then in the second half, it looks like there's something in the water in the Liverpool dressing room, because a complete turnaround, from being dominated to dominance.
Yeah.
And Liverpool will be left kicking themselves because they had opportunities to score not just one, but to score two or three versus Man City. They ran them rugged. I thought yesterday, my only time that I'm going to criticize Ekitike, it looked like he wanted to score so much that he then made a lot of poor decisions. Where he could have passed. I think there was one where Wirtz stood open
and
with his hands wide open to say, look, come on, play me in, brother. Yeah. I'm through on goal. But he chose to go wide to the left and so forth. So there was poor decision making. And then ultimately, I think you're going to be punished by the better sides for poor decisions. And that's what happened in this game. Obviously, a mistake there by Alisson coming out, mistimed the challenge. And then it's a penalty where Liverpool didn't have time to recover. They didn't have time to recover. And so Liverpool end up losing that game. But I think they'll take heart from the second half performance there versus Man City.
Yeah, looking good in that second half. Rest of your weekend. Key Premier League results. Manchester United 2-0 winners over Tottenham. The Michael Carrick ship stays on steady waters and is cruising nicely. Bournemouth 1-1 draw with Aston Villa. Arsenal doing what they needed to do. 3-0 winners over Sunderland. And then Brentford 3-2 winners over Newcastle.
Well, there's a message that's come through here from Thomas Nipura in Rua. He says, I'm not happy with the penalty given to City yesterday. Come on.
No, it's a penalty.
I'm a Liverpool fan.
It's a penalty, yeah.
That's a Stonewall penalty.
Yeah, so
what was supposed to happen?
None of the ball. Yeah, took the man.
He didn't get the ball. He took the man. He misjudged it. It's a penalty.
It's a penalty.
What was supposed to happen?
That's a penalty. And then finally, of course, Chelsea 3-1 winners over Wolves. The top four, Arsenal, Man City, Aston Villa and Manchester United. Chelsea occupying that fifth position, which might end up being a Champions League position, and Liverpool is sixth.
Alois, there's a message that's coming from Evans, Dombosha Vanzi. Nai Alois, my fellow United supporter, what exactly do we have to do so that the United hierarchy give Carrick the job? Why are they still looking for a permanent job? Has he done enough to get the job for you? Or do you think that maybe four matches is not enough for you to say, give the man the United job?
For me, I think I'm the wrong person to ask that question, right? Because if it was me, I would have given him even before he started winning.
All right. Yeah, so you would back him?
As soon as we fired Amorim, I was like, give it to Carrick. I said, give it to Carrick. I actually said, give it to Carrick even before Amorim was appointed. So I think I'm with the listener that they must just give him the job. Give him the job so that now he can also prepare long term. Now he's looking and watching who is doing what. Long-term planning now is actually key, because the best is are there now. We can see that we can see the shoots coming through already.
The league that makes football all so beautiful, where artistry and strokes of genius are the order of any day, where the game is played with a smile. All the news from the Spanish La Liga on CFM Sport.
All right, now Atletico Madrid manager Diego Simeone was left to rue a poor attacking performance from his side as Los Rojiblancos succumbed to a 1-0 loss to Real Betis last night. It was a goal by Antony that secured all 3 points for Betis, when in midweek Atletico Madrid had put Betis to the sword, Mike, and a surprising result for all, especially the chances missed by Atletico.
Yeah, absolutely. Chances galore. They're just going to get the goal over the line. They had a couple of goals disallowed, offside calls, and so forth. So just nothing seemed to be working for Diego Simeone's side. I also thought the refereeing as well was partial to Betis in this particular game, especially Ademola Lookman. He's looking like a very good signing, but I thought the ref was very, it's almost like he wanted to prove a point to him.
Welcome to La Liga.
Welcome to La Liga. We are the bosses. You're not a star, and so forth. All those, you know, because I just thought, well, look, some of the fouls he was blowing for, even the yellow card.
Yeah,
I mean that he got.
Unnecessary.
Unnecessary. So, but a good result for Betis. I mean, to be thumped 5-0 in the cup and then to bounce back and win in the league, they'll be happy with that response from their players.
They certainly will. And then Barcelona now 3-0 winners over Rayo Vallecano. Real Sociedad 3-1 winners over Elche. And then a second half display by Real Madrid saw them win 2-0 over Valencia. Barcelona still lead the standings on 58 points. Real Madrid in second on 57. Atletico Madrid in third with 45. And then it looks like Villarreal is the team this year. That'll be that fourth team that is sitting in fourth position with 42 points. Let's go across to Italy. Juventus manager Luciano Spalletti has urged the Bianconeri to live within the pressure and to relish testing themselves to see if they can handle difficult situations after their fight back for a 2-2 draw with Lazio last night. He's absolutely correct, isn't he, Alois? Luciano Spalletti, about Juventus. They're going to have the mentality to dig them and work their way back. So far, it's gone great guns, but last night they demonstrated that their mentality has certainly changed. They're fighters now.
Yeah, they're fighters, but it's not going to be easy to climb up to the top, but they are doing well to actually show that, you know what, they can fight, they can finish as high as they can this season, but you are rest assured that next season you can actually see a Juventus that is actually fighting for the Scudetto and also probably chasing the UEFA Champions League, going deep in the UEFA Champions League.
I'd certainly agree with that assertion. They are looking like they're headed in the right direction for sure. All right, let's give you the rest of the weekend's key Serie A results. Napoli 3-2 winners over Genoa. Inter Milan imperious over Sassuolo. They beat Sassuolo 5-0. Did Inter, the log leaders. They're sitting on 58 points at the top of the standings. Their crosstown rivals, AC Milan, sitting on 50 points with a game in hand in second. They're 8 points adrift, but like I said, game in hand. And then Napoli is in third on 49 points, with Juventus in fourth on 46 points, with AS Roma tugging at their coattails in fifth position with 43 points. Tonight's key match is Roma taking on Cagliari. Bayern Munich in Germany got their train back on track after Luis Diaz struck a devastating hat-trick and Harry Kane scored twice from the penalty spot as the Bavarians swept aside high-flying Hoffenheim 5-1 at the Allianz Arena. Mike, we discussed this and talked about what to do, stick or twist, and Vincent Kompany looks like he's sticking and it's working again.
Yeah, it's working again, and they were aided in this game by obviously Hoffenheim going to a man down, and they took full toll on that indiscretion by Hoffenheim. Luis Diaz, every Luis Diaz performance, I think a reminder of the mistake that was made by the Anfield hierarchy to sell him to Bayern.
It's a dagger in the hearts of every Liverpool fan.
You can take a look at the loss of form that Gakpo has suffered. Mm. They gambled on the wrong man.
They gambled
on Gakpo kicking on because you're scoring a few goals. Look, it hasn't worked out for Gakpo because he's been a pale shadow of himself. I think he looks a bit leggy. He just looks a bit heavy, off. Keeps losing possession, making the wrong decisions. And yet Luis Diaz out in Germany is shining. He's showing what can be done. And that combination for Bayern Munich together with Harry Kane, it guarantees goals because it's got creativity and it's got finishing.
And Olise on the other side.
Yeah, back on the winning trail. Yeah. It'll take something extraordinary by Borussia Dortmund to stop. The gap is 6 points. Yeah. It's likely to increase rather than decrease.
Yeah. It's 6 points with a real feel of 12 points.
Yeah, that's it.
Bayern Munich on top with 54 points. But Borussia Dortmund, who beat Wolfsburg 2-1, are sitting in second on 48 points. Borussia Mönchengladbach had a 1-1 draw with Bayer Leverkusen. And then Cologne were beaten at home by RB Leipzig 2-1. And take note, the team beaten by Bayern Munich, Hoffenheim, 5-1, is sitting in third on the Bundesliga table on 42 points. So that just shows just how dominant Bayern Munich is in Germany. All right, we got to go. We're back tomorrow. Don't miss the show. May God richly bless you. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Manande, out.
Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise.
The biggest sports stories.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
The biggest interviews.
These are happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if it wasn't Venus. So thank you, Venus.
And all the
analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James, at the worst, is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that. It's just blasphemous.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's CFM Sport on CFM Stereo. My station, your station.